He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So if you'd like to keep your Bibles open, in Colossians 1, page 983 in the Church Bibles, this morning I want us to gaze at the supremacy of Christ. I want us to see how big and powerful this Jesus Christ is, this Christ that we serve, this Lord that we serve. He has no rival, no equal. And maybe we already know this, but it's so easy to forget, isn't it? That Christ is supreme. It's a little bit like what we do with our children. We need to remind them again and again and again. Not to squeeze all the toothpaste out when they're doing their teeth, or not to flush the loo after they've used it, or not to shout at one another. We need to remind our children, if you have children, again and again and again. Our children need reminding again and again. And as we as God's children, we need reminding again and again and again. Now, sometimes we look around our world and see and read in the news, there is death, there is pains, there is suffering, there is hunger, there is bad government, there is chaos, abusive power. There are marriages and family breaking down. There are natural disaster, genocide, political unrest. Sometimes I wonder if you ask yourself, where is God in all this? If he's so powerful, why doesn't he do something about it? Is it beyond his control? Doesn't he care? And my prayer is that this passage in Colossians, in God's word, will help us and maybe give us some answers to these big questions. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer as we ask God to come and help us as we look into his words? Our Heavenly Father, we ask you now, through your Holy Spirit, Father, come and illuminate your word to us. Father, we can read, but if you don't give us understanding, Father, if you don't open our minds and our hearts, Father, it's useless. So, Father, come and speak to us powerfully through your Holy Spirit, that Christ, your Son Jesus Christ, would be supreme in our hearts, in our churches, in our families, and in all. Amen. Amen. The early church believed that either Christ is Lord of all or not Lord at all. He's either everything or nothing. And this is what Paul is desperately wanting the church in Colossae to understand and grasp. And that's what this passage is all about. That Christ is supreme and sovereign over all. So I've got three simple headings. Christ is supreme in eternity. Christ is supreme in creation. And Christ is supreme in the church. So let's look at our first point. Christ is supreme in eternity. Look down at me there if you have your Bibles in verse 15. The first bit, Paul says this. He, i.e. Christ, is the image of the invisible God. So what is Paul saying? Here is Jesus Christ, seen by many, heard by many. walk and die and rose again. Paul says this Jesus is the exact image of the God who is invisible. Now, question is, why is God invisible? Simple answer, because he is too glorious for humans to see and behold him. You might remember in the Old Testament, we're told again and again and again that man cannot see God and live. He is too glorious, too powerful. And in John chapter 1, verse 18, we're told that no one has ever seen God, but the only God who is at the Father's side, that is Jesus, has made him known. No one has ever seen God, but who is at the Father's side? Jesus Christ has made Father God known to us. Sometimes we say, don't we, that Prince William, I don't know if you would agree with me, that he's got the spitting image of his mother, Princess Diana. Agreed? Or some people might say, you know, Zach, Esther, or Timothy, has got the spitting image of me. Paul is saying, if you have seen Jesus, if you know Jesus, you know God the Father. You can tell, can't you, when you see children or somebody and you see their mom or their father later, hey, I can see the family resemblance in you. Paul adds, verse 20, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. There is nothing less or more in Jesus that we can say of God. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he, i.e. Christ, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature and upholds the universe by the word of his power. There was never a time when Christ was not. He has always been. He was with God eternally in complete union and communion. He is the uncreated one. He upholds everything in the universe by the power of his word, supreme in eternity. Not only Christ is supreme in eternity, he's also supreme in creation. And this brings us to our next point. Christ is supreme in creation. Look down at me there again in verse 15, the latter half to verse 17. It says this, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus has the highest honor and the highest position in creation, firstborn of all creation. The honor and glory belongs to him. No one else deserves. Why is Jesus supreme in creation? Look down there again in verse 16. All things were created by him, through him, and for him. All things were created by him, through him, and for him. Christ is the creator of all, from the tiniest atom or molecules or our intricate DNA to the galaxies, the stars. You know, scientists are still discovering galaxies and planets, all these new galaxies and universe. It was created by him, through him, and for him. He created me and you and all those who has ever lived and will live. He has ordained government and authorities. He raises kingdoms, destroy kingdoms. All creation obeys and is under the authority of Christ the Creator. And someone said this, rightly so, there is not a single square inch in the universe that does not belong to Christ or is not under his authority. Not a single square inch. Yes, even Satan and his demons. You might remember in the book of Job that Satan
had to go to God and ask permission to harm Job.
The demons obeyed Jesus Christ. We see this again and again in the Gospels. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things work together for the ultimate glory of God.
Let me give you an example from the Bible. Pharaoh of Egypt. He was a powerful man. Egypt was one of the strongest power in the ancient times. And we know from the Bible that he opposed God and his people. And yet we're told that God defeated him.
One of the most powerful nation in the ancient world. Maybe Egypt is what you'd get if you combine the United States, Russia, China, a super powerful country.
Invincible, right?
Pharaoh decided to stand up against God. But here is the question, how can a created being challenge the Creator? Can the clay stand against the potter? And God rescues his people amazingly, miraculously, with his power and defeated Egypt and Pharaoh. And who got the glory? God got the glory through Pharaoh's rebellion. I mean, look at the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Roman Empire, or any other empire who stood up against God. They're just history now. Look at ISIS today. 4 or 5 years ago, they seemed invincible. A few days ago, we saw on the news that the caliphate is shrinking. And all we have are ruins of these great and strong empires.
A few years ago, we were in Rome, Colosseum. The big thing, Colosseum, isn't it? Paid 15 euros to get in there. Relics.
But Christianity, Christ, is still supreme. You might remember Psalm 2, it says this, why do the nations raise and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Verse 4, he who sits in the heaven laughs.
This is God's reaction.
Who can stand against God and his son Jesus Christ? Friends, this is the God we serve. Not some puny little God, but a God who is sovereign and almighty over all. And how do we make sense of all these sufferings and pains in the world when there is a good and sovereign and all-powerful God?
Well, this is a big topic, maybe another sermon for one day.
But let me say this. God did not send us a politician or a powerful man or a freedom fighter. God sent us his son, Jesus Christ, to be like one of us, to enter into our mess, to enter into our brokenness, to enter into our suffering world, so he himself can experience suffering and pain and brokenness. Christ was betrayed by his friends. He was afraid. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, Good Friday and Easter Sunday is just a few weeks away. He was hungry. He was angry and saddened when he saw people being ravaged by illness and death. He wept when his good friend Lazarus died. Christ entered into our brokenness, our suffering, our pain. He knows what we're going through. He knows. You see, God doesn't just dictate from up there. He came to be one of us. John chapter 1, verse 14. God, the Word, became flesh. He became one of us. He came down and became one of us, lived among us. One day, we're told, all things will be made new again. We will have a new resurrected physical bodies. One day, all pains and sufferings and illness and wars and sin will be gone. All of creation will be restored. Till that day comes, we wait. We wait.
we wait. We, by faith, that God is a trustworthy God. God is a promise-keeping God. We wait. He will make all things new. Why? Because Christ is supreme in creation. And finally, Christ is supreme in the church. Look down at me there again, verse 18. It says this, "And he, i.e. Christ, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." Paul is saying Christ is the head of the church. Not just written here in the letter to the Colossians, but it's all over in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. 1 Corinthians 12, we are told that if we are the body, who is the head? Christ. Christ is the head of the church. So friends, what would this look like for the body of Christ here at OB Evangelical Church, the local gathering of believers? How can we encourage and cultivate in our churches that Christ is the head of the church? One of the most obvious ways we can do that is it starts with God's Word. We want our church, don't we, to be led by God's Word. We see that God leads through His Word. We see right in Genesis, God speaks. He leads. We want our churches to be led by God's Word, corporately, together as a church, and also as a family. We want God's Word to lead us. Why? Because of what it says in towards the end of verse 18, that in everything he, Christ, must be preeminent. He must have the first place in everything. He is already supreme over eternity and creation. And we, as the body of Christ, must make him preeminent in our churches and in our lives. Which also means that Christ must be first in our families. Christ must be first in our marriages. Christ must be first in our work, in our homes. Christ must be first in our mission and ministry. Christ must be first in our conversations. Christ must be first in our thoughts, in our music, in our worship. Christ must be first in our Easter celebration or Christmas celebration. Christ must be first in our churches, and that starts when Christ is supreme in our hearts. Sometimes it's easy, and even easy to acknowledge, isn't it, that yes, Christ must be first. Easy to say, but hard to do. Friends, maybe this coming week, would we take time to reorientate our hearts and search our hearts and ask ourselves, am I letting Christ be the supreme in my heart, in our families, in our church? Or is something else being supreme in my heart? Is Christ preeminent in all areas of my life? Is Christ the first in all areas of our lives, our family, and our church life? It says in James chapter 1, verse 22-24, "Be doers of the word and not only hearers, otherwise we are just deceiving ourselves." So let's ask God this coming week that he would be supreme in our hearts, that his son Jesus Christ would be supreme in our hearts, in our families, in our churches. Because he's already supreme in eternity and in creation. Christ must be supreme in all.